Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. That very familiar Luke 2 text tonight, there is a very stark contrast in that very common narrative that you've heard this evening and countless other Christmases before this. The first half or so recounts the news of the census, historical data about rulers and so forth, Joseph, where he's from, Mary, his betrothed, going to Bethlehem because of taxation, rendering unto Caesar, and so forth. Yes, this fulfills God's word about where the Christ is to be born. But the text doesn't say that. We are introduced to Joseph and Mary, betrothed couple, traveling to Bethlehem because of the taxation and their being descendants of David. If you ponder that, the royal descendants of King David, the highest and mightiest king, are humbled to the point of having to travel under Roman authority, Roman orders, so that they could pay their taxes to a Gentile government. The nation of Judah is gone. The great kingdom of David is a distant memory. The people of God had been conquered and now are ruled by foreigners who do not know God nor call upon his name. Luke just mentions these things and moves on. He mentions that Mary's pregnant, and in a matter of fact says that while they were there, the time came for the child to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger. But there were not in any great accommodations. There was no room. Of all the descendants of David, Joseph and Mary are lowly, common. They did not gain favor with others in Bethlehem to have a prized spot in that town, nor did they gain any real mercy for Mary being pregnant and coming up and ready to give birth either. Maybe there was some public shame about them, being only betrothed and yet also expecting. But no, they are given the place of animals. Luke goes out of his way to explain all of this in a very matter-of-fact way. That the birth of Jesus is common. It is lowly. It is humble. The earthly situation is grim. There's Roman rule. There's not even a room in the inn. No one seems to care about this couple or their unborn child. But then the text changes. Luke mentions shepherds doing what they do, watching their flocks by night in the field. And that is the last normal, humdrum kind of thing in our text for the night. Because the joy of Christmas springs upon those shepherds as the text takes up this heavenly spectacle that comes to earth. That note the birth is humble, but it has accomplished wondrous things. No one on earth but Joseph and Mary really knew it. But the humble beginnings had to almost serve as maybe an offense to them in what the angel had spoken to each of them about this child, about this birth. It comes, however, with the appearance of that angel and the proclamation to those shepherds that there is finally glory fit for the occasion. An angel of the Lord appears to them, that the glory of God shone all around them, and they are terrified. Shepherding was not really looked down upon as a sinful way of life, a sinful trade. But it certainly was not a grand religious calling. though the patriarchs often were shepherds, the vocation was not held among men as notable or particularly honorable anymore. The shepherds were not the scribes, certainly weren't the Pharisees or Sadducees, or the chief priests of Jerusalem. And these shepherds respond to this angel appearing and the glory showing around them accordingly. They're afraid that whenever heaven opens up, sinners become terrified. When angels appear in the scriptures, sinners are terrified. That such is the sinfulness of man, that it creates a rift, a barrier between heaven and earth, and a barrier between earth and heaven. And that heavenly invasion of earthly things is frightful, terrifying for fallen earthly sinners. And the angel speaks. Our God has so chosen to honor words by using words to be the very things to put aside the fears of sinful men. That this is the glory of the occasion. It's the proclamation of what God was at work doing that night for those shepherds and indeed for the world. The glory at the manger is contained. All the divinity, all of the Godhead contained inside of that humble newborn frame of the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, enfleshed from that point forward as God assumed humanity into himself, hiding the majesty and divinity under the appearance of humanity. But hidden away in the manger, miles away in the distance, heavenly majesty and glory was happening visibly out in that field with those shepherds and the angels speaking and singing to men. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Behold, take note. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Not the news of sin and condemnation. Not the news of what man rightly deserved. Not the kind of news the shepherds already knew about themselves in their hearts. The knowledge of sin that made them afraid of heaven and these angels. Not the news of great fear, but of great joy. This is how the birth of Christ is to be received even today. Good news, great joy, all the people. Does your conscience bear witness against you tonight? Does your conduct of life, the thoughts, the imaginations of your heart, the feelings that well up inside of you, cause you to be afraid of heavenly things? Do you think the door of heaven is closed or is being closed for you? That in the face of that, you are to announce to yourself, today, take heart, Christ is born. That this is good news of great joy for all the people. And are you a person? Then this good news is for you. The angel goes on, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The birth that Luke had mentioned as so matter-of-factly is anything but so, according to the word of the angels, that Bethlehem is the place, and a birth has happened, but this baby is not just any kind of baby. He's the Savior. He's the Christ. He is the Lord. And that each one of these titles given to this child in Bethlehem, they teach first, and the only way the other two titles can be received as good news for us sinners is the word Savior. That Jesus is named that because he will save his people from their sins. Savior is who Jesus is and describes exactly what Jesus has come to do. Save people from their sins. The Christ is the office that Jesus holds. The anointed one, the Messiah promised before, who would deliver God's people from their sins, who would deliver them from death, who would deliver them from the devil, who would rule forever on the throne of David. That he is the Lord. That Jesus is true God. That baby in a manger is true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, even at that moment as he's lying there wrapped in swaddling clothes. That Jesus is the Savior, the Christ, and he is God. As they so often do, the angels give a sign. They give a sign to prove it to the shepherds. The sign will not be some magnificent thing. No, that will probably wait for the Magi with the star. But this sign will confirm the message of the angels. There will be swaddling clothes, and there will be a manger. And while swaddling clothes would be kind of a common thing for a baby, a manger certainly would not be. Do you think of the contrasts here? The glory of the heavens and the angels with the shepherds off in a distance and all of these things, while God in the flesh himself resides in a manger, a feed trough. But this is what God has done. He's taken upon the lowest and most humble places, making himself poor, that he might save all and make all rich and bring heaven and glory to all. And at the news of this sign given to these shepherds so that they can go and see for themselves, all of heaven cannot contain itself any longer. The heavens open up even further, and the hosts of the angels appear, praising and glorifying God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That God is praised. And the shepherds heard the news for themselves. That God is pleased toward men. How does God regard humanity? Not only is it shown in the newborn flesh of Jesus come to save the world, but it is sung by choirs of angels. Peace on earth, they declare. Christ, the Savior, is born. His work of the vicarious satisfaction is yet ahead of him, but because he is true God, he cannot fail. And it is as good as done at this very moment, and so heaven opens up. And you can ask yourself tonight, how does God regard you? What does God think of you? And it hasn't changed. It's the same as the way the angels announced it years ago. There is peace with God. And you have peace with God by Christ. That God is pleased. That his goodwill is for you. So the shepherds, the angels disappear, and the shepherds, of course, talk amongst themselves, and they go and see these signs. They go and see what has happened according to the angels, and because the swaddling clothes are there, because the baby is there in a manger, it confirms all the other things the angels said, that this is good news, great joy, a Savior is born, Christ the Lord, it is for you, for the entire world, and on earth, God is pleased with man. But the opening of the heavens was not just to let angels through to sing God's praises. Because Christ has opened heaven to you. the angels are eager. They are eager to have your praises join in with theirs. They are eager for you to join them in the praise and glorifying of God. And the shepherds do exactly that as they leave the scene and go back to their work. They glorify God for all they had heard and seen. Christ our Lord was born in humility, without any earthly pomp or praise. The proclamation of good news of Christ's birth is where the glory of God shone and the heavens were opened. Tonight you hear the same good news. It hasn't changed. That Christ the Savior has been born for you. That heaven is wide open because of His work. That God is pleased with you because of His work. That you need not be afraid. That your sins are gone because of Christ. When man sinned, God put angels there at the entrance to the garden to guard that gate into paradise, that man and woman would not come back into it and eat of the tree of life and live. When Christ was born, angels stood at the very gate of heaven to announce the gospel of what Christ was born for, the salvation of sinners. And that heaven remains open to you because of Christ. And good news comes to you by the preached word. In the name of Jesus, Amen.